You are listening to Today's Modern Worship here in Brevard County, 91.5 FM, WMIE.
We want to welcome you to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is the radio ministry of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. You can find out more about the church by visiting merrittassembly.com. If you have prayer requests or praise reports, please email us at merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We would love to stand in faith with you. Now, here with today's Refresh broadcast is Pastor Bob Arthurs.
And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio program. We pray that everything is going absolutely wonderful in your life. And if not, pray that it gets better. I worked for a pastor one time, and he said, "I'm better now that I got over being worse than I am right now." And so we're praying for better days ahead for all of us as we press forward and occupy till Jesus comes. So I want to take just a moment and say thank you to the folks of Wyrick Air. Wyrick Air has been in Brevard County here for decades and decades and decades. They're based in Rockledge, Florida. They provide professional sales services and repairs for air conditioning and heating issues. Pastor Dennis is the owner, and he brings biblical values not only to the pulpit on Sunday, but he also brings them to work with him and does a great job in meeting people's needs, helping them find solutions. He's very, very good at what he does. They work primarily in residential settings, but they do some light commercial as well, provide emergency service when necessary. They strive to provide their customers with the best service possible and at an affordable price. Their service area goes all throughout Brevard County. I've known them to work all the way down in Barefoot Bay, all the way up into the Mims and Scottsmore area. And, I value their expertise and their craftsmanship, their love for Jesus and wanting to be a blessing in Brevard County. Wyrick Air, 321-632-9538, CAC 182-1309 is their license number. They may be just the resource you're looking for your reliable and trustworthy AC solution. So thank you to Dennis and Carla, 321-632-9538. So today we're going to return back to John, the 14th chapter. I'm going to begin reading in verse number 12. I'm not going to read all the way down to the end of the chapter today. We won't get that far. But we're looking at the ramifications, the various branches or applications that happen because we love Jesus. And so in John 14:12, it says, "Most assuredly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also. And greater works than these he will do, because I go to my Father. And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it. If you love me, keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. The Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." So that's where we're going to stop reading for right now. One of the things that we can rest assured of is that because Jesus loves us, he's going to tell us the truth. He's going to tell us the reality of the situation. And so here in verse 12, it says that he who believes in me, and we've already talked about that connection between believing and loving, the works that I do, he will do also. So it is very much a standard for the body of Christ, or it should be, that just as Jesus did the things that he saw the Father doing, and he spoke the things that he heard the Father speaking, that you and I should behave ourselves, be actively involved in the things that Jesus was involved in. We should be doing the things that he did. We should be treating people the way that he did. We should be forgiving. We should be speaking the way that he spoke. And I'm just going to make myself a little transparent here. I really struggle with some of the things. I'm not condemning them. I'm just telling you that I struggle with this. When people get up and proclaim their love for God, and then they open their mouth, and right after thanking God, then all of a sudden they are talking and using some of the most vile language that we have in the English language. I wonder where the disconnect there is. And from some conversations that people I know have had with other people, that one of the mindsets in the modern church is that it's okay. We can go ahead and we can cuss and have the same mannerisms and same language as the world around us. The Bible doesn't say that. Well, I would beg to differ. I believe that if God changes our heart, it's supposed to change our mouth. We're not supposed to be using our mouth as an agent of blessing and an agent of cursing at the same time. And again, I'm not here condemning. I'm just saying we should be growing, and because we love Jesus, we should be believing in him that he can enable us to speak to people in a godly manner instead of an ungodly manner. We should be building people up with our mouth, not destroying them, not undermining their faith. And we should also, as believers, be very active in ministry. Being a Christian in 2026 is not a spectator hobby. It's not just going and sitting in a room. Instead, it is about actively bringing the kingdom of God and the word of God, the truth of God, the love of God to Brevard County and around the world. So, you know, once again, I want to tell you what our mission is at Merit Assembly of God, and that is God has blessed us to be a blessing. We want to be a blessing to God. We want to be a blessing to our family. We want to be a blessing to the church, and we want to be a blessing to the community. We want to be a blessing spiritually and relationally, however we can be a blessing. That's what we try to do. So Jesus said that because he goes to the Father, that is an act of love that is going to benefit us. Love conducts itself in a way that benefits the others around them. A lot of times people in society will do something because it makes them feel better. But being a Christian means that there are going to be times when we have to embrace inconvenience. We're going to have to embrace discomfort. And we may even have to face persecution or serious difficulties so that the people that we're ministering to can know that Jesus loves them. By the way, I want to say this. The greater works, I believe, has to do with the fact that everybody in the church would be out there able to see kingdom advancement, that it wasn't just going to be locked up in the ministry of Jesus' physical body being in one place at one time. Because he's gone to the Father, he's praying, he's interceding on behalf of every Christian, of every saint. And because of that, God the Holy Spirit has been sent to empower us and enable us to do the will of the Father. So if we want to see greater things, then we need to approach the Father, because that's the Father's plan, the Father's will. That's everything. What he has in mind. We're not trying to persuade God to do things our way. When we pray, we're agreeing that we are going to do life God's way. So verse number 13 describes that this lifestyle of love that Jesus has, that it says this, "And whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you ask anything in my name, I will do it." That's verses 13 and 14. Love, the love of Jesus says, my love is going to create in you the possibility of having this extremely powerful and very effective prayer life. Okay? "The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much." I want you to see that prayer here is moving beyond just petitioning for a need to be met. We have prayer in our services. We believe in healing. We believe that God's still actively involved in people's lives, that he can do things that are greater than are naturally possible because he is a supernatural God. What Jesus says here is that when we ask things in his name, he will do that the Father may be glorified in the Son. When we pray, and I hope that we are on a pathway of praying more. By the way, you know, we're just a few days away from the 250th anniversary of the founding of the United States of America, and we should still be praying. There was a lot of prayer that went into the founding of America, and there needs to be a lot of prayer 250 years later. And the goal should be that the Father may be glorified. I'll be honest with you. When I'm sick, I want to get better as quick as possible. I don't like being sick. I didn't like being under the weather. I've had three different incidents in 2026 where some intestinal bug or bacterial infection had really impacted me in a negative manner, and I didn't like any of it. If I'm sick, I want to be well 5 minutes ago. If I'm in pain, I want the pain healed. And you know, that's I don't think that's unreasonable to want that, but an even greater desire is, God, in everything in my life and everything that you have provided for me because you love me, and prayer being one of those vehicles that you have made available to the church, prayer is God's idea. And so I want to embrace prayer with the goal that God, I want you glorified in this situation. However you work in this situation, I want you to be glorified. And so I've heard of a ministry, not in our church, not even in Florida here, but there was a ministry, a person was afflicted, and they set out during that time of treatment and all of that. They set out as a goal to be a blessing to other people who were facing the same things that they were. And as a result of that, there were people in the medical community that found out about this church that this person went to, because they just wanted to make the most out of the opportunity that God had given them. And that was during the most challenging season that they were facing. Many times people think that because they're going through something very difficult, that they're just waiting for that season to be over. And I will tell you, I want to lean in and say, God, I want you to be glorified if I'm feeling my best, if I'm not feeling my best, if I'm feeling my worst. I want you to be glorified. If I'm doing well financially, I want you to be glorified. If I'm struggling financially, I want you to be glorified. I want you to be glorified in every arena of my life, not just in my church life on Sunday morning. Jesus answers our prayers because he loves us and he loves the Father. And that is a wonderful, wonderful thing. So in verse number 15, he says, if you love me, okay, if, the biggest two-letter word in the English language, if you love me. And again, he's talking to his disciples here. He says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Now, you'll also see this again down in verse number 23 and 24. It's Jesus answered and said to him, if anyone loves me, he will keep my word. So I want you to see it's more than just the disciples that he was speaking to. This is true of if anyone loves me, and he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. He who does not love me does not keep my words, and the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's who sent me. So the word keep in verse number 15, and again down in verse number 24, it means to keep, it means to guard, it means to watch over. As I was studying and preparing for this radio program, I all of a sudden that word just caught my eye, caught my attention, and I said, I think I know this word, and I looked it up, and it was a word that had captured my attention 34, 35 years ago, where I encountered it in my preparation to do a teaching on the book of Jude, the last letter before the book of Revelation. And In Jude, there are things that God keeps, that he guards and he watches over. And then there are things that we're also supposed to keep and watch over. In verse number 24 of Jude, there's only one chapter, God is able to keep us from stumbling. He's able to watch over us, and he's able to keep us from stumbling. That is a wonderful thing. It occurs four or five different times during this time. It talks about people or not people, but angels who did not keep, did not watch over, did not guard their proper domain. They left their abode that God had for them, and as a result, they are reserved, which is that same word again. They're kept, they're guarded, they're watched over. They are reserved in everlasting chains of darkness. There's a lot of benefit that happens in our life because God is watching to keep horrible things, horrible spiritual things from happening to us. He's also watching over us to keep us from stumbling. There is responsibility that we have, though, and we don't shun our responsibility just because someone else shares the responsibility with us. We keep his commandments. We watch over them. We guard them. And we obey them because we love him. Okay? It's not that that produces the love in us. It is because of the love that we have for him that we have a different approach to the Word of God than we did when we were unbelievers. When we were unbelievers, we were rebels against God, rebels against His Word. We thought we knew better. Being a sinner is an arrogant position. It assumes that we are smarter than God, know more than God, and can do a better job leading our lives than what God can. It's extremely prideful. But when we fall in love with Jesus, when we say yes to his offer of salvation, yes to his offer of lordship, what happens is all of a sudden we realize that his commandments are spiritual gold. That he is instructing us in the way of life, that he is directing us in the way that is going to lead us to the most joyful existence that we can have, that we can have life to the full. So as a result of the obedience and because we love him, it says in verse number 16, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper that he may abide with you forever." And so here, because we love Jesus, we will live because Jesus lives. And here he says, because of the way that we are loving him, the way that we're walking in obedience to him, that there's the promise that God, the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete, the one that is called alongside to help, that he is going to come to abide forever. So that dwelling is set up. He dwells with us and will be in us. And he goes on and he says in verse number 18, "I will not leave you orphans. I will come to you." I am so thankful that even when there are no other people around, that we are never alone. I am thankful that when I am doing my life with God, that the Holy Spirit is the one in charge, not me. My wife and I, we went and took a vacation. We went on a cruise for the first time in I think it was over 11 years, and we like going on cruises, but we had life happened. There wasn't a lot of vacation opportunities and things like that. And then there was, hey, I want to take a vacation where I don't have to go eat when somebody tells me I want to go eat or I've got to eat and all that sort of stuff. So we went on this vacation and we took a couple of excursions. We did a couple of bus tours around different cities, and there was a communications error that the cruise ship made with several of us. There was like five different groups. There was about 11 people total, and we were exactly where they had specifically told us to be, independently of one another. We were all in the same place, and up until this point, I was enjoying not having any responsibilities. And all of a sudden I said, you know, I'm going to go and make sure. And so I approached this worker and they said, well, you were supposed to be gone already. And I said, no, we just had this conversation with you a few minutes ago. And all of a sudden after they connected us and we were on our way, there was a person that turned to me and said, we'd had some conversations with them and they said, okay, Pastor, lead the way. And all of a sudden I found myself having to try and quickly navigate this situation where it wasn't just my wife and I, it was 11 of us. And, you know, even in a foreign country, you can find that the Holy Spirit will prompt you to know that he's in charge. We were able to build some relationships as a result of that, and we were very thankful. I can tell you, I am thankful that God the Holy Spirit is not just active in my life when I'm in church on Sunday morning, but he is there to be called alongside to help as an expert, as a legal representative. He's not meant to be a silent partner in your life that you just summon whenever you need, you know, that you have like a spiritual retainer for. It is so much better when we are walking in the presence of God. And so I want you to know that God sent the Holy Spirit because he loves us. He doesn't want us to be alone. He wants to live inside of us forever and ever. I hope that you will make the most of God the Holy Spirit's involvement in your life, because that's the will of God. It's the will of God for you, will of God for me, and I pray that you have a great day enjoying his presence. We will see you tomorrow here on the Refresh Radio program. God bless you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for tuning in today to Refresh with Pastor Bob Arthurs. Refresh is brought to you by the church family of Merritt Assembly of God in Merritt Island, Florida. If you do not have a church home, we invite you to visit with us this Sunday. We have Sunday school at 9:30 a.m. and worship at 10:30 a.m. We are located at 165 North Grove Street on Merritt Island. You can discover more about the church through our website, merrittassembly.com. Email us any prayer needs and testimonies to merrittassembly@hotmail.com. We invite you to tune in Monday through Friday on WMIE 91.5 at 8:30 a.m. and 5 o'clock p.m. and WWBC 1510 at 10:30 a.m. Remember, Proverbs 11:25, he who refreshes others will himself be refreshed.